your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. We've been studying the Old Testament, looking for scriptures concerning Christ. And some of you may be familiar with this passage, some of you may not. It's not one that usually jumps out to people, but hopefully we will all learn to see Jesus in this text tonight. So Exodus 15, 22 is where we're going to find our text. And before we do anything else, let's pray together, and then we'll read the Word of God tonight. Sound good? Amen. Everybody all right? Yes, feeling pretty good? Anybody tired? Are you ever tired? Okay. All right, all the normal people. Anybody tired out of the normal people? Listen, I know you're tired. It's a busy week and a lot going on. And we get tired in different ways, right? There's physical tired. There's mental tired. There's emotional tiredness. There's even spiritual fatigue. And so we can be tired in a lot of different ways. But what we want to do is have a willing spirit. And yield everything to the Lord that he'll give us strength. Our strength is found in him. So I know you might be tired and stressed and everything else, but we're going to learn about the Lord from his word tonight. So let's give him and his word our due attention, all right? So let's pray together and then we'll read. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather tonight. Father, I pray that you have been glorified. Thank you for wonderful songs that magnify the name of Jesus. And I pray that you've been glorified in what we've done already. Lord, please hear our prayers. Please heal those who are sick. Comfort the hearts of those who are brokenhearted. Please give peace that passes understanding and joy unspeakable that's full of glory. Lord, we pray for those who hear this message who are not saved. Maybe even in this room right now who've never been born again. I pray that tonight they would hear and believe the gospel. Lord, I know that we don't understand the gospel. Those of us who have been saved for decades don't understand the gospel, but we believe. We have heard your word, and we believe. So help those who are lost hearing this message that they would believe, that they would simply trust with all their heart in Jesus who died for them and rose again. Call on your name and receive the gift of eternal life. Help us to take the next step, whatever it is, salvation, baptism, serving you in the local church, Lord, being part of a Sunday school class and growing in your grace and knowledge in all the ways that we can, serving others. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to grow. Please help me bless your word in spite of me. And Lord, help us to see Jesus in the word of God tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Now, stop right there. We remember, Brother Ben preached just Sunday night about the Song of Moses. And so when Israel passed through the Red Sea on dry land, and God closed the waters up over the Egyptian army, and they saw their enemies defeated. Remember, they were coming to slaughter the Israelites, and God gave them a victory over that. When they were on the other side, they rejoiced. Amen. They sang, and they danced, and they praised the Lord in a mighty song of jubilee, and then God led them quickly on into the wilderness. Now, when you hear the word wilderness, sometimes we think of trees and a forest and kind of like that. But this wilderness isn't that kind of wilderness. This is a desert place. And so this wilderness, this wild place, was a place of desert, mountains, and sand. And so they are walking around for 3 days, and they haven't found water yet. Now, could you just stop and imagine that for a second? There you are following Moses. You're still just in awe of what God has done. You can't believe it. You were suffering in Egypt. You cried out to God. He sent Moses and Aaron, and they made things worse. And then all of a sudden, one night, God, after all of these miracles and signs and wonders, Now the blood's been applied, the Passover lamb has been eaten, and you hear the cry of all of the houses of Egypt as the firstborn in every house dies, and they come and say, get out of here, and they give you all of their jewelry and gold and everything, and you have to rush out of that place, and then God leads you in the way. Can you just imagine what that was like? I mean, there you are. Husbands with their wives and their children, grandparents and their grandchildren, and families huddled together following this cloud, this pillar of cloud, this pillar of fire. And then God leads them to the Red Sea, and there's mountains on this side. And then all of a sudden, here comes Pharaoh's army. And there you are again. Moses and Aaron, they've made everything worse. Now we don't get to die in Egypt. Now we're going to die out here in the wilderness. But then God shows up again. And this incredible miracle, and you pass through the Red Sea, and the waters are like a wall on either side. And then you come through to the other side, and you rejoice. Amen. And God saved you and delivered you from your enemies who sought to kill you. And so you go on following God, following the man of God out into the wilderness, out into the desert. And then 3 days later, you still haven't found water. Can you imagine? I mean, listen, I know that most of us feel like our lives are an emotional roller coaster sometimes, like always up and down and up and down. But these people, man, certain death to impossible victory, to slow, agonizing death, right? I mean, that's where they're at. And so you say, well, they had to carry water with them, and they certainly would have, but it wouldn't have lasted very long. To carry water with you, you can only carry so much water. And after 3 days, the water's running out. And now there they are. And they come to a place where the water is bitter. It's called Mara, because that's what the word Mara means. It means bitter. So we see the fear and frustration of the people. Look at verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? They murmured against Moses. Now, if you've studied the Old Testament ever before, you've read the word murmured a lot, right? The word murmured, it's the idea of complaining. And so they are complaining against Moses. And certainly they're frustrated, but they're also afraid. Listen, they're out there and they don't have any water. So their frustration, their murmuring, their complaining, where does that come from? Well, it comes from a place of fear. Because they're afraid, and because they are lacking in faith, they are afraid, and that comes out in frustration. Can you just stop for a second and examine your own life, even the past couple of days? Isn't that what we do? Okay, do a quick poll. How many of you in the last 7 days have been frustrated? How many of you, some of you are like, stand up, raise both hands, right? How many of you have expressed that frustration to other people? Mm-hmm. Amen. Me too. We get frustrated. We express it. Where does that really come from? Well, it's really at the heart of us, probably pride, but part of it is usually fear. Why do I say that? Because it's a lack of faith. I'm upset. I'm frustrated because I have a fear. I don't understand how things are going to work out, and I'm not trusting God like I should. And so that's where they are. They're afraid. They have fear, and they have frustration. They quickly went from the joy of the Lord's salvation to the bitterness of disappointment. God led them to bitter water. Water, check this out. Remember, 3 days they're wandering through the wilderness. They're looking for, what do you look for when you're in the desert? What is all their hope set on? Listen, if you are wandering, if you're walking through the desert for 3 days, all you care about is water, and you're thinking to yourself, if I can just find water, if we could just get to the water, everything will be okay if we can just find water. And so they've got all their hope, all of their joy, all of their satisfaction is pinned on finding water. And so God leads them in the wilderness to water. And they're like, hallelujah, we found water. And then they go to the water, and they can't drink the water. He brought them to bitter water. Water they had their heart set on to bring them satisfaction only brought them disappointment. True satisfaction can only be found in God himself. Guys, we're all guilty of this all the stinking time. If I can just get past this project, then everything will be fine. If I can just get this one job finished, everything will be okay. If I can just get through this semester, if I can just make it through this 9 weeks, if I can just make it till the winter time. I mean, we always do that. We set some horizon and we think, oh, if I can just this. Young people are, young men are like, if I can just find a wife. They still do that, right? Oh, let me get, boys are like, if I could just get a girlfriend, then everything would be better. If I could just get that promotion, if I can just get that raise, if I can just. And we're always looking on the horizon for that glimmer of that oasis, that water on the horizon, and everything's going to be better if we can just get there. And how many times when we get there are we bitterly disappointed? Amen. You're not going to find satisfaction in things. Amen. You're not going to find satisfaction in relationships. You're not going to find satisfaction in money. Amen. You're not going to find satisfaction in anything on this earth. Right. See, Amen. God led them there to teach them something. They weren't going to be satisfied with the things that they could see, that they could feel, that they could find. Amen. They were only going to be satisfied in God Himself. Amen. So we see the people's fear and frustration, but look at the faith and obedience of Moses. Moses was not a perfect man. Moses was not a sinless man. Moses was a sinner of the highest degree, just like anybody else. But the reason God continued to bless and use Moses, sinner though he were, is because he believed God and he obeyed God. Look at it. Verse 24 said the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Verse 25, and he, Moses, cried unto the Lord. The people were complaining to him, so he cried out to the Lord. Isn't that good? The people complained against Moses. Moses cried out to God. Just as a side note, every one of you who are in any kind of position of authority at all should be in constant dependence on and communication with God. Amen. You say, well, who's in authority? Well, if you're a pastor or a teacher or you're a boss at your work or you're a mom or you're a dad or you're a grandpa or a grandma, God has put all of us in different roles of authority. And if you have anyone who's looking up to you, you better be looking up to God. Amen. Constantly. Amen. Constantly. Moses' first response, his first reaction was to cry out to God. Now, what about us? When somebody comes complaining, murmuring, griping against you, what's your first response? Well, most of us could probably sit back tonight and say, you know, I can usually give as good as I get. Is our first reaction to respond in kind? You're going to come gripe at me, then I'm going to give you just as good as you get. Is our first response to go complain to someone else? You complain to me, you murmur against me, then I'm going to go tell somebody else about how you mistreated me? Our first response has got to be go to God. It's got to be. He had faith to look to God, and then he had obedience. What the Lord showed Moses, he obeyed. Amen. What the Lord showed Moses, he obeyed. Now, I want you to catch this before you read on. Some of you are cheating, you're reading on ahead, but just stay with me for a second. Listen, we need to obey what God shows us. And stop looking for something else. Be obedient in what you already know to do. There's something about us, Christians. Always looking for something new. Always looking for something we haven't seen before. Something we haven't heard before. Everybody's always getting into these side studies here and there. And listen, I think that all of God's word is awesome. I think all of God's word is beneficial. I think all of God's word is good for us to learn and grow in. Amen. But we need to obey what God has showed us. Amen. You can spend your whole life trying to figure out all kinds of different theologies and different ologies of the Bible and all kinds of different things that you might be interested in. And I know a lot of people are really getting into eschatology right now, end time events. And a lot of people are really digging into Old Testament scriptures. They're reading Daniel and they're reading Ezekiel and they're reading Revelation and they're trying to figure out what's going on with Israel and the world and all that. And that's good. That's okay. But are you praying? And are you walking with Jesus? And are you being evangelistic and telling others about him? Are you being faithful to do the work that he's called you to do? Listen, we got to do what he showed us. So he was obedient. Look at verse 25. Again, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Not only do you see the fear and frustration of the people, the faith and obedience of Moses, but we see the grace and provision of the Lord. God brought them to the bitter water, but he also made the tree that would provide the cure. God not only created the means for the cure, but he also gave Moses the wisdom to obtain that cure. You guys with me still? They come to the water. The water's bitter. You can't drink the water. If you drink the water, it'll make you sick. Next to the water, somewhere nearby, is a tree. It's all there all the time. Before they ever got there, it was there. God already grew the tree. It was there. And what kind of tree was this? No idea. How did it work? God made it work. All I know, it was a specific tree that had to be taken up and thrown into the water for all this to work. It was there. But do you get this? If Moses doesn't cry out to the Lord, he doesn't know what to do. The answer's there, but God doesn't show it to him until he asks. And if God shows it to him and says, Moses, that tree over there, get that tree and throw it into the water and everything will be okay. And he goes, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. Those people are going to think I'm crazy if I go over there and hack down that tree and throw it in the water. That's stupid. That's weird. I mean, do you ever think stuff like that? Like the stuff you know God wants you to do? I mean, even little things like pray. Well, that's not going to do anything. Praying, what good's that going to do? Read your Bible? How's reading my Bible going to help me in my life? I can't. Nobody's ever going to believe just because you give them a gospel tract. That's stupid. No, none of us would think anything like that, would we? Listen, I'm telling you, we have to believe and obey God. Amen. That's the only way you're going to experience his grace and provision is if you believe and obey. Amen. Trust and obey. For there's no other way. Sweet water was available, but only through faith and obedience. Amen. I wonder tonight, I don't want to stretch things too much. I don't want to overreach. But I know this, whatever's bitter in this life can only be cured by Jesus. Amen. You know, a lot of people make this a type of Christ, the tree, the bitterness of the water. Only when Jesus is applied, when Jesus is in it, can it be made well. And that's what he did. He made the bitter water sweet, meaning he made it cured, he made it healed, he made it good to drink. And certainly only Christ can do that. I read in Matthew Henry's commentary this: the Jews' tradition is that the wood of this tree was itself bitter, yet it sweetened the waters of Marah. The bitterness of Christ's sufferings and death alters the properties of ours. Amen. Now, I don't know whether the Jews' tradition was right, whether that was a bitter tree cast into bitter water, but I do know that the other part is true. Amen. Through the bitterness of Christ's suffering and death, it changes our suffering and death, the bitterness of our suffering and death, into sweetness. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. So in verse 25, he cried unto the Lord, The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is the mercy and the expectation of the Lord. The mercy and the expectation of the Lord. He delivered them from Egypt. Amen. Why? Because they deserved it? Did God deliver Israel from Egypt because they were so good? Because they were so mighty, so powerful, so wealthy, so beautiful? What was it? What was their redeeming quality? Why did God redeem them? The answer is because he wanted to. Amen. The answer is because he said he would. The answer is because they cried unto the Lord and he heard them in their distress. That's mercy. What I'm trying to get at is they didn't deserve deliverance, but that's God's mercy. Not only did he deliver them from Egypt by his mercy, but he purchased them as his own. And don't miss this. What were they in Egypt? They were slaves. Everybody say it with me. They were slaves. We don't like that, do we? I don't like that word. We get all messed up in our culture today, and I understand that. But they were slaves in Egypt, and God delivered them, but he also purchased them for himself to be his servants. Now they belong to the Lord. And there was an expectation of God. His expectation was that they would be obedient to him. Did you see it? Verse 26, diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Can you do that today? Can you be diligent in listening to God? Well, how does he speak to us today? He doesn't speak to us today like he spoke to Moses. He talked to Moses like a man talks face to face. He talked to Moses different. The Bible's clear on that. He speaks to us through his word. And he speaks to us through his spirit. Amen. So be diligent to listen to God. And then he says, if thou wilt do that which is right in his sight. Amen. Well, how am I going to know what's right in his sight? By listening to him. And then he wants me to do what's right in his sight. Why? Because by default, what do? We do what's right in our own eyes. When you get away from God, what do? Every man will do that which is right in his own eyes. And by the way, in our own eyes, every way of man is right in his own eyes. Most people do what they want to do and they think it's okay. But God calls us to be different. He calls us to listen to his voice and then do what he says is right. Do what's right in his sight. What do you mean in his sight? Friends, that means that God's watching. Right now, tonight when you go home, while you sleep, when you wake up in the morning, when you start your day well or you start your day bad, when you are faithful or when you're fearful, he's watching. When you're obedient and when you're disobedient, he's watching. So do what's right in his sight. And then he says, and we'll give ear to his commandments. Again, he's telling us to listen to him, to listen to his word. Hearken to his voice. Do what's right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. That's kind of redundant, isn't it? Yes. That's the way God teaches us. Line upon line, precept upon precept. He wants us to get it. So he says, listen and do. Listen and do. And if you do that, He says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Why were God's diseases, why were his plagues put on Egypt? Because they did not fear the Lord. Amen. They didn't fear God. So what separated Israel? Well, they cried out to God. They had a fear of God. That's it. And God's saying, listen, you are going to have to follow me if you want to continue in my mercy. Why? Because he's the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The one who takes us from bitter to sweet. The one who takes from want to plenty. Look at verse 27. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. How many tribes? How many tribes? How many wells? Huh, that's nifty. Isn't that just like the Lord? Amen. So he brought them from bitterness to sweet. He led them there to teach them something, to prove them there, to say, if you will hear me and obey me, I will bless you. What happened? Moses heard God, believed God, and obeyed God, and God blessed them with good water, and then he led them to a place to say, see, I can give you everything you need. Amen. I can give you everything you need. Hey, tonight, remember, God is in control of everything. Amen. Trust him, especially when you're in difficult times. I had plans tomorrow. Circumstances changed my plans. I was talking to Brother Beto about it. I was like, listen, I had plans. My plans have had to change. And Brother Beto said, he texted me back in Spanish. I don't remember it in Spanish, but he said, God is in control of everything. Amen. Doesn't that change everything when you have that attitude? Amen. Man, I'm afraid. God's in control of everything. I don't know how we're going to pay our bills this month. God is in control of everything. I don't know what I'm going to do about this report from the doctor. God is in control of everything. Amen. Little things, big things, impossible things. God's in control. Amen. Cry out to God continually. Not just when you're in trouble. Constantly cry out to the Lord. Yes, of course when you're in trouble. Of course when you're in trouble. But not just when you're in trouble, all the time. Remember, you've been bought with a price. And that we have all been saved to serve. I think the American gospel stops short of what God calls us to. We don't want to encourage people to count the cost. We don't preach the gospel the way Jesus did. But we should. We should preach the gospel the way Jesus did. What did Jesus want? He wants us to leave everything and follow him. He wants us to put our hand to the plow and not look back. He wants us to forsake all and follow him. He wants us to give him our whole lives because that's what he bought. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Live everything for him. Everything. See tonight that it's Christ alone who provides both our salvation and sanctification. Amen. He both gives life and sustains our life. Amen. He, Jesus, is the Lord who heals. Amen. He says in Luke 4:23, he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. And who is the great physician? Who is the Lord who heals? They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I was once sin-sick without a Savior, but Jesus came to me through the gospel, through the conviction of his Spirit, and he brought me to a place of repentance and faith, and he made me whole. He healed the disease of sin in me, and he will in you, if you'll trust in him alone. He is the Lord who heals. He delivers. He is the one who delivers. Tonight I'm going to ask our musician to come, Brother Ben to come. We're going to end our service tonight with a word of prayer.